Hey guys, we're tuning into the Tony's Recap Show and we have so much to talk about. We're so excited. You want to stay tuned and be in the room where it happens.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, you are joining us for the Tony Recap and of course we had to open up with a Hamilton song. After their 11 wins.
Big.
Yeah.
They got close. They got one win from tying.
Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. We're so excited. We've been waiting to be able to talk about it for the last 2 hours.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and introduce ourselves, because I'm not the only one here. Why don't you start with you?
123 Jackie B on all platforms.
I'm Angela Struck, and you can find me on Twitter at @TheAngelaStruck and on Instagram and Snapchat at Angela Struck.
And I'm Drexel Hurd. You can find me at Drexel Hurd. Very easy.
And this is Brianna.
And I'm Brianna, and you can find me at BFIPS14, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much everywhere. So let's just dive into it. Let us talk about James Corden. What did we think of him?
I thought he did an amazing job. I thought he was really funny, kept the show moving along. I was impressed that he did a good job.
Yeah, I thought James Corden was really amazing. I mean, we've had some really amazing Tony Awards hosts from Whoopi Goldberg, Hugh Jackman, Neil Patrick Harris, and I thought James Corden did a really, really amazing job.
I loved his opening number. I was like, it's so emotional for people who have done theater and know that feeling of like being that kid who sees theater and then gets to be a part of it. And I felt like that was a that
or
was
if you're me just acted it out in front of made your parents watch, did plays in the living room.
Exactly, I did that to my parents.
We all did. Yeah.
I agree. I think he did a really good job. I think he did a good job of not doing too much. He did just enough.
Yeah, right. And I liked his. I liked his nod to what happened tonight in Orlando.
I
thought that was they made a respectful reference. You had everybody have the little silver ribbons on their lapels.
It was a great acknowledgement to it without being overbearing about it.
Exactly. Right. I thought the same thing. I thought it was really well done, and then he kind of moved on to focus on the night and all the nominees and people that deserved awards and attention, so I thought he did a good job.
I thought it was really great because, you know, the only person that actually kind of mentioned it throughout the entire night was Frank Langella. Like, that was really the only time.
No, Lin-Manuel.
And Lin-Manuel did too as well. Yeah. But I mean, like, what was great was it wasn't like a big focus. Like, every performer would come up there and try to say something. It was just like, great, we understand what's happening, and the two people who, you know, who are probably some of the greater orators in the room, Lin-Manuel and Frank Langella, you know, were the ones who said something.
Yeah, and Frank Langella's speech in overall, just, I was like about to cry.
Yeah.
And then for those of you that noticed, they took all the guns out of the Hamilton.
Yeah, they said before, we're not going to do this, we're not going to put muskets in this because we want to be respectful for what happened.
Sensitive, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, I would think, was a good idea for you. You didn't need it in the number either.
No.
That's the beauty of theater to me, though, because there's so much, the audience can do things with the power of suggestion, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen Hamilton yet, or you're planning on, like, you wouldn't know that there were muskets in that number in the first place. It just did not seem like, I've seen it, and I forgot that, you know, I was like, oh, where would they go? Like, watching it again, I was like, where would they go now?
Yeah, I can't even begin to imagine that with extra props.
Yeah.
So James Corden did a great job. Overall, I think the Tony Awards, they did a really good job with it. The show moved along at a good pace. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're dealing with a 3-hour show. We're going to be tired.
Yeah.
We're going to be like, when is this going to end, even if we're loving it.
Yeah.
And unlike previous years where it's run very long because they've tried to put so much little shtick in, I think that they did just enough, except for maybe the Broadway karaoke.
I think, yeah, that was the thing, is because they released it online, you were feeling like, are they doing something different with it? And they really didn't. So
yeah, that was a bit superfluous, I think. But I'm with you. I love that opening number, that that could be me. Mm. I thought that was like a big highlight. And just to hit all those shows that we love.
It was like 30 plus shows.
I was like, you know, you were on your edge of your seat. Like, what's the next one? Trying to guess it right away. It was so good. And I loved his opening kind of monologue about like the Oscars with diversity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Trump wants to build a wall around the theater.
We knew diversity would be showing its head because Broadway has always been much more ahead of the game with diversity and with trying to acceptance do stuff acceptance-wise yeah. rather right. than
And
Hollywood.
We have shows like Hamilton and The Color Purple and,
oh yeah,
you know, so it's nice to see a celebration of diversity.
Which we'll talk about a little bit later, obviously, as we get to the winners, but, you know, this is the first time in his Tony history that all four
musical actor
roles were all people of color. So that was also really amazing to me to see.
So let's talk a little bit about the performances now that we're getting into that a little bit. Mm. Did anyone have favorite performance that they saw besides Hamilton?
Okay, so I loved, and I still do, Cynthia Erivo and the entire cast of The Color Purple. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I saw it a few months ago. It was amazing. Saw it with Jennifer Hudson. Heather Headley is, you know, Heather Headley. I mean, she's Aida. She's Nala. She's everything. And she was the witch in Into the Woods at the Muni last year, which is crazy. But that performance was amazing.
Incredible.
I got chills again, seeing it again.
Just all of the voices, every voice that started singing, I was so like, powerful. They're all equally as good.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a different number on Colbert, and that was, then I, after seeing that number, I was like, oh, this is so good. And then I started just like Googling all the other numbers. It's a really well cast.
Right.
Yes. That was a force. That performance was, to me, I think that took the night as the best, yeah.
That took the night. The biggest surprise for me of the night, though, was Waitress.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard the music, and I was purposely not listening to Sarah Bareilles' CD that she put out, or on Spotify, they have her singing every song. And I was like, I don't want that to influence what the tracks are supposed to sound like to me.
Yeah.
So I didn't listen to it. And then the first song came on that they did, and I was like, okay, this is what I expected it to be. And then that second song, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because we talked about this at dinner, where the actress is kind of doing, doing Sarah Bareilles as the waitress.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which,
Carrie Russell.
I liked it because if I was going to see that musical, I would actually want to see Sarah Bareilles in the role. I'm a huge fan of hers. So knowing that she grew up being so passionate about musical theater, I guess I do think that people would go to the show expecting a Sarah Bareilles-esque performance.
Well, I think Jesse Mueller is the perfect casting choice for that because she just came off Beautiful,
right,
which is a singer-songwriter role. So her voice feels just perfect for it. I mean, she's just like Sarah Bareilles in who she is as a performer. So I think it's going to be a great show. I haven't seen it yet, but I definitely
I tweeted out, I said, if you could do a joint award for Best Actress, Cynthia Erivo, and Jesse Mueller, but just from those performances that we saw tonight, both deserve the Tony. And we talked a little bit, like we said at dinner, we were talking about how, you know, should performers who are performing, who are not creating a character, you know, I think Celia is a little bit different because it's coming from a book and you're not really mimicking Whoopi Goldberg's performance, but you're actually taking the book and creating this character. But where Carrie Russell plays this character, Jesse Mueller also played Carole King. So she's kind of mimicking Carole King's movements. And in this case, she's been mimicking Sarah Bareilles' character.
I think for me, when it's like a biographical piece, it doesn't bother me. But then, not that I didn't love the School of Rock performance. I thought it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. But it's obvious he's playing Jack Black.
I agree. I wasn't crazy about that just because Jack Black is so unique in his comedy. And really, nobody can really emulate it exactly. And I just thought, I mean, obviously he's amazing. He was nominated. He's incredible. But I just didn't think that it was just like, it had that humor that School of Rock did. It almost felt like he was angry in the performance, where Jack Black can do that and it has like a tongue-in-cheek to it. That's just, it's a subtle difference. But
where I do feel bad for him with this is that I don't think that there's any, like when they decide to make that a musical, there's no way to play that part besides be Jack Black.
Yeah.
Because people expect
to see Jack Black.
Because if he did it differently, then it would be, why didn't he do it like Jack Black?
That's true. Yeah.
So I felt like it's a lose-lose for him.
Yeah, I agree.
And I mean, I thought he was, it was fun to watch. The kids were actually playing the instruments, which is crazy.
I thought
and
the
amazing.
Kids were fabulous. They were phenomenal. Some of the best kids I've ever seen on stage.
It's really phenomenal. Interesting to me because, like, as the years are going, like these past few years, we've been getting so many musicals that have a large kid cast.
Matilda.
Christmas Story, Matilda.
And these kids are outperforming the adults on the stage. Like, let's talk about that. Like,
they Billy Elliot.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those have always been the bigger numbers, and we've always been really impressed with those kids.
Well, because when you see an adult do it, you figure they've had years to perfect this. They've taken singing lessons, dancing lessons, all this. Like, this kid is, like, 8 years old and doing what an adult can do.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the, there were some of the School of Rock kids who did, they did Broadway Backwards a few weeks ago, and three of the guys, the boys from School of Rock, were the Skylar sisters.
Oh, my God.
You have to watch it. It's on YouTube. On Broadway Backers, they do the Skylar sisters number. Broadway Backers, I thought it was really cute.
Speaking of doing other people's numbers, I liked the kind of like ham for ham nod they did where you have the different casts singing
that was great.
Different
I
songs.
Thought that was really
that
fun.
Was really
I
fun.
Thought that was so smart of them and amazing of them at the same time. Because, like, there's so many people that can't attend the Tony Awards that are sitting out there.
Or just Broadway in general.
They've done the, they've done the, in the past, the big screen, like, let's live broadcast. But it's not the same because you're still watching on a television screen. Like, you're right outside where they are. But now I get to come see, even for 5 seconds, like, some of my favorite performers perform a little ditty.
And it was short and sweet, too.
Yes.
If it had been any longer, I think it would have been like, all right, we don't need to see, you know,
another chorus line.
But if you notice, like, there weren't that many people outside of the Beacon Theater. Like, it was a very contained, like, probably 50 people around this stage, and they just kind of zoomed in.
Well, there might have been more
That's what I was thinking. Maybe the carpet, camera was there.
Yeah, the camera was just closer. Because once they zoomed out, you're like, where'd all the people go on the carpet? Where'd all the people behind them? And so that was a little weird. Unless other people could watch them from across the street, which...
Yeah, I'm sure they had something. They probably had screens also up, but...
I feel like it was more of a nod to the idea or even trying to support that idea in the future.
Yeah.
More so than actually, like, in practice.
I will absolutely
happening.
Support a $10 rush ticket for any Broadway show outside the theater.
Good luck with that.
No, never get tickets.
So We've talked about the certain performances. There was also Fiddler on the Roof that we had, which
you know
I was talking
about. My friend Adam Cantor was in, which is amazing. I mean, we performed at Northwestern and Musical Theater together, so it's awesome to see.
When we were talking a little bit about how we thought the song choice, and I don't know, you weren't there with us, so what would you think about the song choice that they chose to do?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because there wasn't a lot of singing.
It was just kind of
the dancing. I will say, like, the spirit of Fiddler was definitely conveyed, and it kind of, I get chills. I love that show. I agree with you. I think there could have been.
I have no issue when they do a dancing performance during the Tony Awards if the show is a dancing show. If
like 42nd Street, I don't want to hear you singing.
Right,
chorus line, please do a dance.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
But when you have such great songs in Fiddler on the Roof that they have, I just, why not showcase the singing?
I agree. They could have done a little medley or something, you know, where you get to see some of those favorites.
Which a lot of the numbers did tonight. A lot of the numbers did medleys of the show. But one of the things that was really cool about Fiddler was the first, there's only been a few times that an entire company, Swings included, have been on the Tony stage at one time, and I think that's probably that had a lot to do with why they chose that particular number, because they could fit so many people on the stage without making it
too much
of a problem.
I think you're exactly right. In fact, Adam wrote on his Facebook I saw today, he said it's like one of the first times every member of the cast, including all the Swings, have performed.
Yeah.
So I think that was definitely what they were taking into account. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I also, I think we need to give the proper respect to Spring Awakening as well.
Yeah. That one,
that's a hard number to put together.
I was so interested to see how, because I knew it was a deaf performance, and I knew that they had people singing, but I didn't know how they did it. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, so intrigued. I was like, I'm so excited to see this one, to see how they are putting it together. And I didn't realize that they were going to, you know, have some people that were deaf and some people that just signed.
right.
that could sing as well. So it was like kind of a combination, which was so.
And you had to put the sign language into the choreography mm-hmm. of the pieces, which I thought worked really well. And it's yeah. tough.
I remember when Def West was on Gold Star, when that particular performance on Gold Star.
I remember here in Los Angeles, that. I remember
and I was
that.
Like, oh, I've already seen Spring Awakening. I don't need to see it again. So now I, you know.
I'm kicking myself. I did the same thing. Yeah. I am kicking myself.
My friend, he sent me a text one day and he was like, oh, do you want to go see Def West's Spring Awakening? I was like, no, I've already seen it. Like, what was I thinking? Now I'm like, oh, I should have seen it.
I know, I did the same thing because I'd seen it 3 times. I love it, but I was the same way. And then I'm like, oh.
They almost didn't get a chance to perform at the Tonys. I think they had to raise, they were raising money so they could all perform at the Tonys. I remember Andy Menudis was tweeting about it, Michael Arden was tweeting about it, and a couple of the other members of the cast were tweeting about it, and obviously they raised enough money to...
The one thing I saw that I was, I don't know how I feel about it, because I could go either way, but the singers that weren't performing, just singing, were wearing modern day clothes.
Yeah, the guitarist who was at the beginning, who sang mm-hmm. who was playing the Mama Who Bore Me at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think that Christa Rodriguez was on the sidelines. I'm sure she plays a big role in the show. Andy Menudis, mm-hmm. He was actually in costume.
He was signing.
Yeah, he was signing. He was in costume, but there were like a speckle of people.
I just feel like maybe it would be a little bit less distracting. For me, my eye's not going to go to them as much if they just kind of blend in more. Because I kind of want just to watch the deaf person. I don't want to be watching the person that's singing.
I think what's interesting to me, though, even listening to what you're saying, is stylistically, when you're at a show, a normal Broadway musical, and you have those days where you have the person signing on the side, they're the person who's wearing the like normal clothing, mm-hmm. and so it's interesting that this is flipped. It's mm-hmm. the reverse concept where you have now this singer who's just supporting the deaf actor mm-hmm. wearing the normal clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also had Shuffle Along perform. Which yeah. I didn't amazing. Find. I mean, Audra McDonald's always amazing, yeah, and the dancing was amazing, but it didn't stick in my head like some of the other performances did.
I agree. Well, the dancing was sensational.
The dancing was sensational.
I mean, that one guy with the kicks and the mm-hmm. handkerchief on his shoe. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it was incredible. But I agree. For some reason, it just didn't hit home for me, like some of the others did.
I think the part of the Shuffle Along was a book from like they did it 3 times. In like the early 1920s, 1930s, 1960s, all different revivals, but different books. So they redid the book, and then it became this whole brand new show. And it's all about Savion Glover's choreography. And if you don't really know the story, yeah, you're not gonna. I don't really know the story all that much, but I know enough that this is all about the choreography. So I think sometimes when we're watching Tony performances, you know, they always try to pick the numbers that get you to understand the show. And mm-hmm. I don't think they picked a well enough number to where a majority of people who don't know the music or don't know the book will understand the show. And I think that was
especially when you have someone like Audra McDonald in your cast who is known for just having these amazing notes that she can hit.
Right.
Like you're expecting them to Billy showcase
Porter?
It.
Like where did Billy Porter go in that number?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Lost in the Shuffle. Billy Porter got lost. Brian Stokes Mitchell got lost. Yeah. Audra McDonald's up there. I mean, she's pregnant, so I was like, she's up there tap dancing and pregnant and doing everything that she's doing up there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that were lost. And there were, but I think that is a testament to the fact that there are so many great performers in one show, and you can't really showcase mm-hmm. them all.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then also we had "She Loves Me."
Yeah,
it was cute. Yeah. It was like literally like watching "She's Got Mail." I mean,
yeah, I mean that's basically what from what you can gather, that's what the story is. That's why they had Meg Ryan.
Did you guys, though, love seeing Vanilla Ice Cream? I mean, doesn't it just make you cringe thinking of the 16 bars that I've heard? Every girl uses Vanilla Ice Cream for their 32 or 16 bars, the end. And so it was nice to actually see it done beautifully. I mean, she really slayed that. Yeah,
because she really can't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I mean... Look at her when she was in Gypsy, and she's supposed to be playing a role in Gypsy that is a background role, kind of, and she stole the show.
And either not got nominated for a Tony and won the Tony.
I love Jane Krakowski.
I know, I do too. I love Jane Krakowski.
I was surprised at her split.
Yeah,
that split came out of nowhere.
I was like, wow.
She can dance.
She's been drinking her Trop 50.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that.
But she's great. I thought she was great. I love that pink dress too. I loved that.
And I don't know.
It was cute. It was cute.
It was cute.
I wasn't surprised in the least that it maybe didn't win as much because I was just like, it looks like a fun show, but is it amazing?
Here's what I wrote down though. Gavin Creel can still do exactly what he did when he did Thoroughly Modern Millie. Like everything that I remember Gavin Creel, like in Thoroughly Modern Millie, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's Gavin Creel. And he was just like his voice was just as good, if not better, as it always has been. So it's very good.
Some people can just surprise you with that. It's like 30 years later and they have the same voice they had when they were 20.
Mm. You know that number?
Some can't.
Some
Hashtag Gloria Estefan.
No, that was sad.
She was so amazing. She shouldn't have done that. I think she should have left it to the cast.
She should have done more like Sarah Bareilles did.
She's fabulous. We love her, but we love her doing it in the past. And I just felt like to see her up there, I felt like she was struggling with her dance moves. I felt like she was struggling vocally. I mean,
I know all these songs. I grew up with these songs. Yeah. But the entire number was lost to me until the two little kids. I was like, okay, that's all I'm going to remember from this
number. Yeah, I remember Brianna saying, I love the two little kids. And I went,
they're dancing.
Yeah, they were great. No, I loved it. Like, that's the one thing we took out of that entire performance was for the two little
kids. It's a hard
kids.
Thing, though, because they're her songs, you know? Right. So it's like you get to a certain age and you may or may not be able to hit the notes or perform your songs in the way that you used to.
I know.
So it's hard for her because they're her songs, so it's like babies. It's like it's hard to like pass your song on to someone younger and let them sing it.
I agree. It must be gut wrenching, but I think the actress that they have playing Gloria Estefan or whatever, she was fabulous, and she should have.
And I think that it's also hard because if she's singing and we're doing a compilation, I'm not getting an idea of what this musical is besides just Sarah Bareilles.
That's what the musical is.
But that's funny you said Sarah Bareilles because, like, they were night and day performances between Gloria Estefan and Sarah Bareilles. Like, Sarah Bareilles let Jesse Mueller control that performance.
Which I was surprised at first because I thought when they first brought her out with the piano, I was like, oh, is this just going to be a concert? Mm-hmm. She's just going to sing a song?
Yeah.
And we're not going to have any taste of the play? And then they stopped and she took over and I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
And that's where Gloria Estefan, I think, didn't do that.
It felt like a concert.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a Broadway number. Yeah. It felt like a concert.
I was talking to my boyfriend, though, who it's like he's followed her career for a long time and he was just like, it's typical of her. He's like, she always wants to be the like diva showboater person.
Yeah.
So he's like, she has this hard time giving it up no matter what she's doing, even if she's in a cast of different people.
Yeah. I think she should have done the introduction. Everybody could have seen her, loved her, and then she should have let the number do it.
Segued off. And it's always hard. It's always a toss up when you do a musical, when you make a show based on music that everyone already knows.
Yeah.
Because you have to create a story that goes with the music.
I mean, I feel like people that are going to go see On Your Feet are going same as like Mamma Mia. People are just going to hear those songs and dance in the audience.
On Your Feet's already closed.
Yeah.
I believe it's already closed.
Okay. It closed.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you ever live in New York, you know that when you have a show in the Marquee Theater, it lasts like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It is like a death trap for any Broadway musical going in there. It does not last very long. I mean, Wonderland lasted like a second. Like I blinked and it was gone.
Yeah.
And
And I think the only other kind of performance, we already kind of talked about Hamilton's in the beginning when we were talking about what
it's amazing. I mean, clearly, it's Hamilton. It's like, what else are you going to say?
Too. Oh, yeah,
Bright Star. I'm freaking Bright Star.
I thought that was really good.
I have wanted to see that since I saw the little trailer they put up, which is now I'm like kicking myself that I almost forgot it.
Yeah.
But
if you knew my story, they sang.
It looks like such a fun musical.
I thought so
too. And when I heard Steve Martin was making a musical, I'm like, oh, it's going to be like a comedy thing. It's going to be like slapstick, and it's not
right.
How about what he introduced it though? You can either work really hard or already be famous. That was hilarious. Yeah. I love that.
But you know, Bright Star was based off of Steve Martin's album.
Yeah.
So they kind of like it just. If you've heard that album, if you've heard what's it called? It's called "Love Has Come for You" with Edie Brickell. Like, it's a pop folk album, so like that's their kind of style.
Because he plays
banjo. Right. And so it just made a little bit more sense that Brightstar kind of had that feel, but it did remind me a little bit, and we talked about it earlier, it reminded me a little bit of Once, and just that feel, like, yeah, this is just a very nice performance. And
I mean, we're also just basing it off of this one performance we've seen, sure. And the trailer, I mean, you may go and it might be the best thing you've ever seen.
Right.
I thought the singing was incredible, and I thought the music sounded really, I mean, if you like that kind of style, which I do, mm-hmm. I loved that. I thought it was really well done.
And I love the costumes too.
Yeah.
I love anything with like 40s, 50s. Like, I love that style.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's period pieces. I love it.
But yeah, so Hamilton's amazing. I don't know what else we can really say about Hamilton's. Because
I mean, you know, it's amazing.
There's so much to say about Hamilton, yet you don't want to oversaturate like an entire. We could talk about Hamilton all day.
Yeah, it's like when James Corden was like, "So, Dad, like, anything you want to see now that you're here?" Well, Hamilton's winning a lot.
right.
He was like, "The show won't be entirely Hamilton. There will be commercials."
Yeah,
you know, we'll begin it with Hamilton opening the entire show, and then we'll end it with Hamilton closing the show. But
yeah,
we're not saying it's an amazing musical, but. But, just watch.
Right.
The other performance, we had that little taste of Chicago, which I did not realize it now is the longest running American musical.
It's funny because it's actually the revival of Chicago that's the longest running American musical.
Was that previously Phantom of the Opera?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is now, which I've seen Chicago and I prefer the movie.
I do too. If you've ever seen Chicago on Broadway, like
it's very,
it's in this very
bare bones.
Small black box theater.
It's very bare bones. Yeah.
It's very rough.
It's not that it's bad.
I mean, I love Fosse though. So
if you're going to get a sense of the 30s, 20s and 30s, and like just have that feel and to go for the dancing, it's great. Just not for necessarily the storyline gets.
Or you're going for the star. Or you're going for the name on the marquee.
Yeah.
At the beginning, you were behind BB New Earth. You saw
all the different stars
that have come on there.
I think that that's kind of been the secret to Chicago is, you know, Mama Morton and all that. You can, there are star vehicle roles that people, they don't really have to be that great of a singer because it's a dancing show. Mm-hmm. It's a Fosse dancer show. So a lot of people, except for Roxy. There are only a few people that actually really sing. So I think it's easy to put celebrities in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lisa Rinna. I was like, oh gosh, when I saw it.
Yeah, the Housewives. I feel like all the Housewives have gone cycled through at some point.
When I saw it was Ashley Simpson.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the movie is much better. Catherine Zeta-Jones is incredible, but it doesn't have the Fosse feel that the musical does, the stage.
So you should definitely see both.
Yeah.
Okay. There is something too to be said, and I mean, it comes with musicals like Chicago and like Rent, where you can get away with having like almost no set, and that's something. I mean, it's not something I really thought to me worked for Chicago. I almost wanted more of a set.
Well,
in that case.
Once you've seen the movie and you see them bring all this stuff in for the numbers, then it's like, then you want it.
Yeah, then you want it.
And I think that's the downfall. Is like, if you see the movie first, the play is never going to measure up. Yep. If you've seen the play first, then you'll have that still lovingness for the play.
Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, I do have a love of avant-garde theater, so I do think that, you know, one of the beautiful things about theater is being able to have almost no set and then just pull off a play.
Right.
Yeah.
Which happened tonight. I mean, the what's his face? The guy who won for the Arthur Miller,
director.
Evo.
Yeah. It's like the staging he did for both of those was kind of avant-garde or bare bones, you know, and it worked. He won for it.
Yeah.
I think you almost have to do that, though, when you're doing, like, Arthur Miller. It's been done so many times.
You have to reinvent it.
Yeah.
You can't just do the same. Yeah.
Talking about the winners of tonight, was there someone or anything that surprised you that it won?
Surprised.
Or surprised that it lost?
I don't know why, but I thought as far as, like, the Arthur Miller showdown, as I like to call it, because it's the two plays directed by the same people, but I thought The Crucible was going to end up being more award-winning than A View from the Bridge, and I don't know why I thought that.
I was surprised because
it's because I heard so many friends that talked so much about how much they love The Crucible, and it's like, okay, you realize you can't win award shows just based on that, but
I was surprised play-wise. I had heard so much about Eclipse, And I thought yes. Eclipse was going to take home. And it didn't really win anything.
Well, and I think that had a lot to do with the fact that it was Lupita Nyong'o. Like, she is the name, so a lot of attention is going to be on these shows, whether are bigger names or is their Broadway debut.
The thing that it was making big headlines about that show as well was it's, like, literally all women of color.
Right.
You know, and there's no men in the play. It's run all by women. And to me, I don't know, maybe it's because I put some sort of, like, personal effect on that. Like, oh, I love that they did that, you know.
Kind of like Waitress. Like, you know, it was an all women-led, from the top down.
Yeah.
Entire crew.
Yeah.
Director on down. So mm-hmm. I thought that was... So, yeah, I don't know. I think that I only... The only ones I missed on my little ballot... I don't know if everybody felt a little ballot.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I was actually just counting mine up because I was like, I feel like we need to say...
I got like... How many did I get? I got 12... out of 24 or something like that. Yeah, I got like half.
I got 11.
I don't even know.
Oh, I missed both actresses.
Count yours up really fast. We'll keep talking.
Both actresses of a play and a musical. And I had actually put down Jesse Mueller for Waitress over Cynthia Erivo, even though I knew what might happen. Like, okay. I was pulling for Cynthia, but I was like, oh, Jesse Mueller might take it.
I knew Frank Langella was going to win. I knew
I got 12.
But... I love Jeff Daniels, so I selfishly was like, I'm just putting him. Just
that's because... my problem, is I put sometimes the ones that I wanted to, yeah. even though I was kind of like, it's not going to win, but like...
I would have had 12, sorry, I'm not to interrupt you. I would have had 12.
It's my fault.
It's his fault, because I was going to pick The Color Purple for Best Revival, and he made me change it to Spring Awakening by convincing me.
I thought that Spring Awakening was... I loved Color Purple. I just thought Spring Awakening was directionally a better show. Mm. Like, even though I didn't see it. But from what I've seen so far, I'm like, The Color Purple is what it is, but Spring Awakening, Michael Arden's direction,
had something
completely new. Like, how do you do that?
But I feel the reason why I picked Color Purple over Spring Awakening is because I was feeling people were doing the same thing that I did with the Gold Star tickets, you know, where you're like, I've seen this, and then you're like, no, that was stupid of me.
But it's like Tony voters are all in New York. It's not like they haven't seen these shows. They can't, it's not like they haven't, you know, seen the difference between the mm-hmm. two shows. And I think what really saved The Color Purple was Cynthia Erivo and the direction by who directed John Doyle. Like, it was like Oprah. A bare bones and Oprah's name.
Sometimes I wonder, though, because when people are voting for shows, and this happens in the Oscars a lot, it's like screeners are easier to see than shows, obviously, mm-hmm. but you get all these screeners, and like sometimes people are just like, you know, voting for what's more popular. They've mm-hmm. seen more, or they're,
what they think is probably going
to
win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, to go back to Angela, since I did cut her off, with you picking your favorites rather than what you probably thought would win, what was your total you got?
Oh, I didn't even count it up because I didn't even, I've like circled some of them, but then I like changed some. Yeah. I think I'm like around 8 or something. Because I voted with like who I wanted. Like, I knew Megan Hilty wasn't going to win, but I love Megan Hilty, so I put Megan Hilty.
I put Megan Hilty even though I was like, I know it's going to be Hamilton, but I love Megan.
Did you put not Hamilton. Jonathan Groff over in the featured actor?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Because
she was like, I really want Jonathan Groff to win.
Because he's never won.
Right. And I was like, I think it's going to be David Diggs.
No, I knew it wasn't. That's why I was 100% sure. Like, other ones you can kind of, like, convince yourself, maybe. But that one, I was like, no, it's not going to go to Jonathan Groff. And I know that.
Yeah.
But I want him to win one day.
Yeah.
One day,
because I think he's talented
enough. He's talented.
Well, I'm sorry. Are we all so happy for Leslie Odom? I love him.
I was so happy because there was that little part of me that was like, maybe it's going to go to Lin-Manuel, which... Not that he's not great, too, but he has a Tony.
Yeah, and Leslie Odom, I actually interviewed him a few years ago at the OBs, and he's, like, the nicest individual ever.
He looks super nice.
And I just felt like he's so deserving. I mean, he's done so much great work.
And also, if you think, I mean, not that I'm saying that, like, if you divvy it up, this is better than this or whatever, but Lin technically already won a Tony in this show.
Right,
so,
right.
Several.
Yeah,
right. He's not crying.
So yeah, so it's like it's almost nice to say, okay, we're acknowledging that you have this fabulous voice.
Yeah.
But when you do see Hamilton, you will know, and if you get a chance to see Leslie Odom Jr. in it, you will know why Leslie Odom got that.
Well, even just listening to the soundtrack, I feel like
he is Aaron Burr.
And yeah, his voice is so moving.
Is almost, I feel like, the better role to play.
Yeah.
It has more depth to it.
Mm. And anyone who can, it's kind of like I'm a big Harry Potter fan. Any person,
he's
like
Snape.
He is the Snape. I was about to say that. Any person that can play a role that is supposed to be a bad guy, but actually turns out to be, you actually in terms of loving them, that is a testament to the actor more than it is.
Like Christoph Waltz character. In.
Everything?
Yeah.
You just love Christoph Waltz.
Big Eyes, I do not love Christoph Waltz.
What is the one where they're killing Nazis? Have you seen Big Eyes? I can't think of it.
No, but he's not a good guy at all in that one. He's just, at least Aaron Burr, you can see there's some sort of conflict. Life situations and conflict that are making him seem more bad than he is.
Yeah.
Whereas in that movie, he's
That's true. Yeah, he's just a terrible person. The people that, you know, when somebody can play kind of the bad guy and he's like.
Well, and they set you up for it in Hamilton because in the beginning he's like, I'm the son of a bitch that shot him. Like, you already kind of feel a regret. Yeah. So you already know going into the show, no matter what he's doing, that at the end of it, there's going to be a regret.
Right.
Yeah. Can I just one side note about what you guys think of all the celebrities, like the movie stars? Did you guys see Anna Wintour sitting there with her sunglasses on in the theater?
I did not see that.
I was like, are you serious right now?
So special.
There was someone that was mic'd throughout the whole show. And then every once in a while, like when Lynn won, they were like, yes.
I think it was James Corden.
Was it James Corden?
I think it was. Yeah.
I think it was. Because there were a couple times where I was like, oh, that sounds like him.
I just kept hearing the voice, and I was like, who are they not turning the mic down on?
That was kind of like in the Grammys when Justin Bieber's guitar was still on, and he was practicing, or at least that's the rumor. You could still hear during somebody's performance. I think it was Adele's performance. Maybe it was Billboard, one of the two, where you could hear the guitar, and that's how Adele ended up getting off pitch, was somebody's guitar in the back.
Wow.
Renee Ellis Goldsberry.
Justin Bieber, of course.
That's my girl. Like, we're talking about Leslie Odom Jr., but Renee Ellis Goldberry, deserved that.
Yeah.
I loved Philippa Sue. I mean, everybody, and we talked about it, between the actress in a musical and the featured actresses, I feel like this is the first time where all 10 actresses
were amazing.
Were deserving.
Yeah.
Like, not that none of them aren't ever deserving, but like this is just a hard choice because all of them were just so good.
This is a year
so
where you're
good.
Like, you really have to, it comes down to like the littlest thing to choose between them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because other years, like, people go up, they're a good singer, like we've said, and it's just, there's nothing that's wrong with what they did with the characters, just maybe the character just wasn't anything to do with that can make it, oh my God.
Yeah. It's kind of like, with Bright Star, you've got Carmen Cusack, who nobody knows, yet her performance was so good tonight.
Yeah.
And I was like, you probably still have no idea what I'm talking about, but because there was so much happening during that Bright Star performance.
Right, yeah.
But she was the one who was singing mostly during that.
Yeah, and, you know, I just, all the performers in the Tony Awards, like, you have to imagine the nerves going through them. I mean, this is your shot to show the world outside of New York, what your show is about, and like why you should see it when it goes on tour, or why you should go to New York and see it. Like, not only are you trying to just have a good performance, like you're like trying to sell your show
and on tour, because a lot of things, like coming here to the Pantages, or if you're at the Fox Theater, or if you're in Raleigh, or any of those big places that the regional theaters go to, you've got to sell those tickets too.
Yeah,
I think theater actors too just live the work that they're doing so much more than, you know, I hate to generalize, but movie or television actors. I just feel like they're so entrenched in it. They're doing this show, you know, 8 times a week or whatever. And it's just, I think it's just another level of connection to their work that they really take pride in.
3 months of your life.
Yeah.
Really. Like, I mean, you're going to have a little bit of beforehand, but three months of your life, you're on that set doing that movie and then it's done.
Right.
And there's no stunt double or dancing double or body double in theater. It's like,
there's no cut and redo.
I think the other thing is too, if you're shooting a movie, you can, you know, you may not even work with 90% of the cast.
Right.
Whereas
Especially when you're
yeah, like when you're in a theater production, you're all together, you all know each other, your family, and you've spent hours teching all of that stuff. So it's just,
yeah, I mean, anyone, you know, I used to do community theater in high school and stuff, and like at the end of a show, like it is,
yeah,
it's like graduation all over again. Like, I'm like crying, I'm not gonna see you every day. Like,
yeah,
it's heart-wrenching. Like, you invested your life into the show for who knows how long.
Exactly.
And yeah. And I think the other thing about the Tonys too is that a lot of these people, this is their first time performing on the Tony stage.
So or on
they
camera.
Are on camera or anything. Like, so they are putting in, not, I mean, they put in 110% every night, but now it's like, hey, mom, I'm on television. And this is the one time that you might be able to see me in this yeah. show.
Well, and you don't want to Brooke Shields like Hamilton. It and yeah. mess up
yeah.
and become the meme of the year.
Right, right.
Aww. Oh, Brooke Shields. Okay, that year when she had to pull up the card and read it, everyone saw it.
And kind of like, who was that guy that got knocked out with the, you know, the bar came down was a couple of years ago?
Oh, Poison Singer.
God, I can't even remember his name.
Yeah, but like, I can't.
It was the Rock of Ages show. He was kind of showboating in the front, like, yeah, hi, I'm great. And then he came back, and the set was coming down.
Oh,
and my friend was actually a dancer during the Tony Awards in that time. And he was like, yeah, like, he was told, like, during rehearsal, like, you need to be on this point at this time because this set's coming down. And he just gets...
Yeah.
It's very Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels, yeah.
Yeah.
He thought he was the show. And the show got
Not
him.
Not about you.
And the show got him. Yeah. Show showed him.
I was surprised that there was no closing number this year. Like, it was, there was the Hamilton number. They were up there singing, but usually the host does, like, a little recap, kind of.
Yeah, or maybe Hamilton I'm just used to Patrick Harris. There's, like, Hamilton in the open, Hamilton in the middle, Hamilton at the end. Yeah, it was definitely the Hamilton Tonys.
Yeah.
We all knew it was going to be, because going into it,
everything. I actually like that there was no closing thing, because once you get to the end of, like, a 3-hour show, as much as we love theater, as much as we love watching performances, you're like,
eh-heh. I agree.
Move on.
I think we'd seen it all at that point, and I think, you know, I like it when the hosts know that they're not the focus of the night.
Yes.
You know, and I just felt like he was serving these shows and trying to just... highlight them as best he could. It wasn't the James Corden performance.
He had his one number.
Yeah.
The only time, and I found this out later, I liked when Neil Patrick Harris just did that really quick recap where he was, like, singing everything that had happened through the night. Mm. Like, here's what you missed if you walked away with
that. Yes, that was.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda was actually, like, I guess, backstage writing that out as the show was going on.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of cool. But I understand what you guys are saying as well.
I'm in the chat room right now, and there was a lot of things that were happening. Just technical things that happened throughout the show that were really a little weird. Like in the She Loves Me number, I saw a follow spot that just did not make it to the actor.
Oh, yeah.
At the time. I was like, what? Is the follow spot going to make it to that
I
guy?
Know. He was just sitting there in the dark.
He was for like a good 30 seconds. Like, yeah. And I was like, ooh, are they going to get him? Is he ever going to be on camera?
Yeah.
Riot Theater people.
Riot Theater for real. But there was another point where... Christopher Fitz, or it was Best Direction of a Musical, and, you know, it's John Doyle, Scott Ellis, Thomas Kail, George C. Wolfe, Michael Arden. And Michael Arden is in the theater somewhere, obviously, and they show Christopher Fitzgerald, who played Bach in Wicked and a few other things, and they showed him instead of Michael Arden. The one time where, you know, Michael Arden, you know, I mean, how many times is he going to, I mean, obviously his career is going to take off after Spring Awakening. But this is like first time, not his first time on the Tonys, but like first time like nominated for anything. And they show somebody completely different. And that was, you know, I'm like, how do you miss that? I mean, they go through rehearsals for these things.
Yeah.
Not all white people look alike.
And they put your names on the seat. Right. It's like, you know who's sitting where.
Yeah.
Even if you don't visually know
There was like that one year where the sound kept messing up throughout the entire Tonys. And I just remember all of us sitting at my house just being like, well, someone's fired.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that's all you think about. It's like, whoever's in charge, like, their life is going to be
getting in trouble. Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about?
Well, Hamilton won 11 Tonys tonight. I thought that was
close.
Very commendable.
Yeah.
To breaking as well.
Of course, we have, you know, a lot of the great technical. We talk a lot about the actors. Talk a lot about the scores, and you know, we've got costume design. I mean, everybody that pretty much won. I mean, Hal Binkley, Hamilton. If you watch Hamilton, the way that the lighting is on that stage, well deserved Tony Award on that. Direction of a play. Here in Los Angeles, we have Disneyland. Frozen just replaced Aladdin.
Aladdin was such a great show.
We talked a little bit about Eclipsed at the beginning of the show, or just a little while ago. Liesl Tommy, who directed Eclipsed, directed Frozen at the Hyperion. So she's the director at the new show that's playing at the Hyperion. And Yeah, we always forget about those, like, technical, because they're not shown on TV.
Yeah, because we're just given a quick...
Choreography, surprisingly, not shown on TV. Best choreography, not shown as a speech.
And also...
I mean, it was shown, but it wasn't, like, it was not presented
also,
as
also, you had told me earlier that you said you were a little surprised that Hamilton got it.
I was surprised because I thought Savion... Because I thought, like, a show that's so... Like, I love Andy Blankenbuehler. I love him in... I was choreographing in the Heights. Loved him in Bring It On. But Savion Glover,
yeah.
Like, how do you?
Yeah.
I mean, Shuffle Along is the dance show.
Yeah.
And how does that show not win? Especially when you've got so many people like that are not dancers, Billy Porter, Angela McDonald.
Yeah.
Like, and you're literally taking those people out of their element and throwing them in and making them tap dance. I'm sure they all learned like
I
in school. Obviously,
felt like Hamilton's a bit more inventive.
It is.
You know, than
it is. It's just like you said. You know, he. The choreography's been done. The choreography's won, I believe.
Many times.
Many times.
Yeah, I know.
I love Andy Blankenbuehler. Obviously, Hamilton deserved all 11 Tony Awards.
You know, and I want to throw out a nod to dancers and choreographers because they don't ever get as much acclaim or recognition as the actors and the singers do. And their job is so tough.
So right. tough.
And taxing. Like, usually, like, early to mid-30s, you're done. That's it. Mm. So, you know, nod to all of you guys.
And then, of course, we can't not talk about the best play, which was The Humans.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
He eclipsed the father, Humans, King Charles III. I really
want to see King Charles III. I'm so intrigued by this concept. Like, I love this. I mean, it's one of the... They were saying that Hamilton's so interesting because it's a different take on history. And this is like... almost like a projection of what could happen in the future. Mm. So I like that idea.
Yeah.
Are there any...
I want to see Blackbird because that just looked like an amazing, most intense...
Talk about a...
Two actors on a one set.
Bare bones.
Yeah.
With a table and bright lights, like they said.
Yeah.
Oh, I love just shows like that.
Just confronting after 15 years of having a sexual assault happen to you, 15 years later, just confronting the person... Like, can you imagine, like, watching that?
And I'm sure a lot of schools do it because it's very easy. You can do it in a little black box theater. Mm-hmm. You can just have a couple of people, a lot of scene work doing that. But, and then, of course, the Lifetime Achievement. And then In Memoriam. A lot of people I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
I know.
I, like, forgot about Patty Duke.
That's what happens because it's been a year.
Some of them have died, too.
People that died, like, within a month or two after the Tonys last year, it's like, oh, wait. Yeah, they did die.
Yeah, and then Alan they put Rickman. It to
season I did 12. Not forget about Alan Rickman.
I mean, as I'm saying, like, these people showed up, like, you're like, oh, man, that was
Or you
like,
may have
recent.
Forgot that this person did theater.
Yes.
You're like, right. You may know that they died, but you're like, oh, yeah, they were on Broadway.
Roger right. Reese, like...
David Bowie. You know,
Maureen O'Hara. Yeah. Ken Howard. And then Kyle Jean-Baptiste, who was in Les Mis last year. I mean,
which
that
was... so sad.
That was so sad.
That was devastating to the whole community. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Barb's. Bob Streisand, coming out of nowhere.
All right, guys. Well, there's never going to be enough time to talk about everything because we only have this short amount of time. But, you know, tweet us, talk to us on your own if you have any questions. Like, we'd love to probably still discuss more. I'm guessing all of you guys would like to, too. And also, just so everyone's aware, me and Jackie here are starting up our own show on the Popcorn Talk Network, which is our sister network, called Broadway Breakdown. And we're going to be starting that on June 26th, 2 weeks from today, 3 p.m. We're going to be discussing new shows, movies, plays, everything that has to do with
Hamilton
theater.
Is our first discussion
Hamilton
in
is
2 weeks.
Hamilton is our first discussion, and Drexel will be joining us for that.
We'll be in that room where it happens.
So make sure you follow us. Let's tell them where they can follow us.
You can find me 123 Jackie B on all platforms.
You can find me Angela Struck at Angela Struck on Instagram and Snapchat, and The Angela Struck on Twitter.
And on all platforms, you can follow me at Drexel Hurd.
And I am BFIPS14, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. And 2 weeks, we'll look forward to seeing you guys. Thank you for joining us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.